This is Building Bridges, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
City University of New York students and supporters stand firm
after CUNY police bully them during Occupy CUNY protests over tuition hikes and the increasing privatization of the CUNY system.
Students, faculty, Occupy CUNY and Occupy Wall Street rallied outside of Baruch College to protest the Board of Trustees meeting where the board is and was and did actually pass measures to further squeeze the public out of CUNY. Even though these meetings are legally obligated to be open to the public, Baruch's president announced that the vertical campus would be closed to almost everyone by 3 p.m. However, protesters reclaimed CUNY on the outside and exposed the board's illegitimate actions inside.
Police violence had already occurred at Baruch in response to protests about tuition hikes and unfair labor practices targeted toward adjunct and other faculty, and the privatization of the public CUNY system. But unlike pro-democracy movements from UC Davis to Occupy Wall Street, the protesters stood firm. Our schools and communities are not for sale. We will not give up our rights to free speech and assembly. Free CUNY. We're joined now by Hector Agrandano and Emma Frances Snyder from Occupy CUNY and Barbara Bowen, president of the CUNY Professional Staff Congress.
And hello to all of you. I know that the protest actually is still in progress or just winding down, perhaps.
It is over now.
It is over now.
It's over now, yeah.
And I know that the Board of Trustees did what we didn't want them to, which is in quick succession, pass a number of the dreaded regulations. Why don't one of you, to begin with, tell us exactly what the Board of Trustees did today? Who wants to start with that? Emma?
Yeah, hi. I'm Emma. Nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me on.
It's nice to meet you, too. I should say that Hector's with us in studio. Emma's on the street still recuperating, although both of them are, from the protest, as is Barbara Bowen, who's with us, who is out of studio as well. Emma?
And Emma's from Brooklyn College also.
What happened?
Okay, so basically they passed the tuition increase. They actually already voted on the tuition increase in the summer when students weren't on campus, so no one could really mobilize. And tonight, it was just the meeting was basically about how to implement it, which is $150 per semester, $300 a year over the next 5 years. So tuition is going to increase over $1,500. And they also decided to implement $15 million in hiring more security guards on CUNY campus over the next, I believe, 5 years. So that's $3 million a year on extra security at CUNY campuses.
And Hector, who's in with the studio with us, so why don't you talk a little bit about what the demonstration was like when you were there?
Thank you for having me again. Today, we had a demonstration outside. As you mentioned earlier, the president of Baruch College sent out a mass email to the faculty, staff, and the students saying that the campus would shut down to hold this Board of Trustees meeting. So we couldn't rally inside, or we couldn't protest inside the lobbies of Baruch College, so we had to stay outside. We had about 800 to 1,000 people, students from different campuses. We had several faculty as well. Students from the Graduate Center were there, the Professional Staff Congress, the PSC, which is the union at CUNY, was also there with good numbers. And the mood was one of defiance and not of defeat, actually. And I want to point that out, that a lot of people are coming to see the Board of Trustees as a very illegitimate body that is making decisions that are not in the benefit of the students or the workers at CUNY.
There's nothing terribly surprising, since certainly before the 90s, actually, campus security have been militarized, their budgets have increased, And, of course, we know that last week there were 15 students and faculty that were arrested in the lobby, and five of the protesters were ultimately jailed for more than 24 hours. So I take very seriously that where we're at now with education is that we are willing to commit tens of millions, really, of dollars towards securitizing, militarizing our campuses while we cannot take an institution like a public education and provide it for all students. I come from the period where we were still demanding both open admissions and where, in fact, we were demanding that there be no tuition in order not to exclude people. So, Barbara Bowen from Professional Staff Congress, help put in context for us some of what this increase means. I will tell you that on my way here, you know, Wins News Radio said, hey, what's the big deal? It's $300 a year, so come on, you know, what's a poor institution to do?
The poor institution is advised to rely on a better budget strategy than endless tuition increases. As the president of the faculty and staff union, and we represent all the faculty and staff adjuncts as well as full-time and the staff members like the registrars, financial aid counselors, we're united in our support of the position that the only real way for CUNY to solve its budget yawning budget gap, which has been created by, you know, not just 1 or 2 years of disinvestment, but 20 years of that. The only way to do that is to develop a long-range strategy for increased public funding. And it's not an unrealistic proposal at this moment. I'm well aware of where the state budget is. But if the state decided not to give a windfall to millionaires and billionaires on December 31st of this year, they're due to get a $5 billion tax break, the richest 3% of taxpayers. If that windfall were not to occur for the richest taxpayers, there would be $5 billion extra dollars to spend on CUNY, on jobs, on K through 12 education. It's a question of policy. It's not a question of natural disaster. It's the policy, and we believe that policy can and must be reversed.
Emma, let's bring you into this discussion over the increasing militarization of CUNY, over the extra money being spent on the budget for the guards, and in terms of the state budget.
Actually, the other day at Brooklyn College, we had a general assembly, and we wanted to stay inside one of the buildings that we attend class in, and we were first told that under the Henderson Law, which states that students are allowed to assemble, we were first told that we weren't allowed to be there. And I mic checked to everybody there, and I said, okay, we're being told that we can't be here. How do you guys feel about leaving? And everyone said no, so we decided to stay inside. And then we decided to move it upstairs to the second floor where the president's office is. And we were greeted by, there are about 20 students, and there are about 14 security officers. They lined up in three rows and began, lifted their arms up, stood together, and began pushing us with their bodies, telling us that they weren't pushing us, and also demanding our IDs. I then said, I don't understand why you're asking for my ID. I showed it when I first came to campus. And they took two students' IDs and then pushed us down the hall, down the stairs, and then right on the brink of going outside, we said, we will not leave until you give us our IDs back. And they did, but they wrote down the student's information. And I've also noticed an increased presence of security guards at our school. And the idea is that they're supposed to be there to protect us, but it feels like I don't feel safe with them, and I feel like they are actually there to prevent us from just even discussing or talking with each other. So there is an increased presence, a security presence on campus, which is very disconcerting and very uncomfortable for, I know, the students and staff alike. And then as for the tuition increases, there are already students that can't afford to go to school. I know a number of people that This is my first semester at Brooklyn College, but I know a number of people that are friends that can't go to school right now because they already can't afford it. So the rational tuition doesn't make any sense because, A, students already can't afford to go to school, and then, B, one of the reasons that they're increasing tuition is to say that they to hire more teachers, when at the same time, the majority of those teachers are professors are adjuncts, and they don't get proper health care, and they get paid very poorly. So to me, it's completely irrational.
Hector, is it any more rational to you?
I mean, the Board of Trustees has labeled this tuition increase as irrational because they say, you know, in the past, the university would increase tuition every time there was a recession. And so now we're just going to increase it every year for the next 5 years. So that, you know, that is the rationale behind it. Of course, not looking for any other public monies as well. Just kind of now 43% of the CUNY budget is actually composed of tuition from students. And the contributions from the city and from the states have gone down, and students are now paying more out of pocket for their education. I mean, you know, specifically the board voted to ratify this this contract, the $15 million for more security at CUNY. And this is a board that has been complaining about the fact that there is no money out there. And that tuition has to go up. So $15 million for security, you know, there's a huge contradiction here on what they're saying and what they're doing.
Barbara, last week, the room was not full, the meeting room in which this was supposed to be discussed, but people were shuttled out of it and put in the position that Emma was talking about. And this week, of course, nobody could get up there for the vote. And these are supposed to be open meetings. Is this the way decision-making is supposed to be done at CUNY?
Well, no. You know, there was a tremendous lack of openness. But I do just want to say one thing. You know, our point is not that CUNY is not looking for any state money or public money. They are, but there is nothing rational about the so-called rational tuition increase. One person who testified last week about it, a professor, said to the trustees, if I were to tell you that it was rational and I was going to cut your salaries by $25,000 every year, and you would know in a rational plan that this was going to happen every year, would you consider that justified? And I thought that was a wonderful way of exposing what's wrong with this idea that it's fine to raise tuition as long as you tell people. It makes it no more rational. And in fact, it puts the burden up front instead of allowing families to keep that money until the fourth year and then pay the increase. Now families are going to be paying part of that increase every year. But to go to the point of the meetings themselves, I was inside the meeting last time, outside this time. Last time I pointed out to the head of security that the fire department occupancy level limit was 300 people, and we counted 180 in the room. As far as I know, people weren't shoved out of the room, but even people who had signed up and prepared to testify were not allowed into the room on the premise that the room was full and it could take no more. The room was not full. There was room. Most of the chairs were taken, but there's plenty of room to stand. So that was not an acceptable reason to keep people out. And then today, it's not true that nobody got in. There was a line of people who were admitted. It was first come, first served. I don't know if all the seats were taken, but it was clearly limited. The message from the president of Baruch saying that students wouldn't be allowed into the building, even Baruch students, unless they had urgent and legitimate business in the college, all of that served to discourage people, actively discourage people from being in what is supposed to be an open meeting. And we've had to sue CUNY to get them to observe open meeting laws. So it's a very serious thing.
As a matter of fact, issue of a lawsuit was just gleaming in my lawyer's eye right now. If they violated the open meeting provisions or manipulated it, given the fact that there has previously been litigation, I don't know why they wouldn't be considered in violation and the vote taken illegal, but maybe that's one of the next steps. But Hector, I was also going to the issue that many people have been raised, that the public is being pushed out of CUNY, that indeed this becomes a cost prohibitive situation for students, and people have raised the specter of privatization of the CUNY campuses. Tell us more about that.
Well, what's going on at CUNY is actually going on across the country in higher education, as we see, for example, in California, where they are actually also having protests against the regents of the university there, who are also voting on tuition increases. And it's also going on, this privatization is also going on in K through 12 education. And so this is part of a bigger picture to really privatize one of the last actual public services that this country provides, in a sense. And here at New York City and at CUNY, tuition used to be free up until 1975, but since 1976, 83, 92, 96, et cetera, tuition has increased up until last year it was $4,700. This is putting a lot of students, it's making them decide whether or not they can or can't go to college. For a lot of people, for a lot of families, this is, you know, a question of rent, a question of food, or education. And these are the position in which many of us are being put in. I'm a student at Graduate Center, and the Graduate Center is in the particular position, unlike other graduate schools, that it doesn't guarantee full funding for all its the students it admits. So some students get three-year teaching contracts as part of their stipend. Some of us get a one-year contract and have to look for financial aid every year over and over. And sometimes it's not... Sometimes the decision is between food or books, for me, in fact. And this is something that is not sustainable. It's something that CUNY cannot go in this direction. And it's, in a sense, it's too big to be failed by the Board of Trustees.
Emma, we're going to give you the last word. We've just got a couple minutes left. But what do you think is the most important thing to take away from the experience of the last 2 weeks with regard to student organizing in CUNY?
I believe that we just need to organize more. I think that what we're doing right now is really fantastic. There's this kind of very amazing feeling among everyone, like we can do something. I believe that we will do something. I think that what we just need to do is keep on going. And I think that right now we're building, and the only thing that we can do right now is just keep going and just keep exposing the truths that the unhappy truths that we're finding at CUNY and try and change them. I mean, the Board of Trustees is a completely undemocratic form of undemocratic form of raising tuition. No one is involved. The students, the faculty, they're not even involved at all, and they're the people that are mostly affected by these decisions. And I think that there has to be either, well, I know that we've been saying that we want to abolish the Board of Trustees, and I think that there needs to be more participation with the students and with the faculty. We deserve to have a say in what we're doing and what's affecting us.
Yeah, how about less bullets, more education. Hey, that's where it's at. Listen, that's where the millions are in part going. But I'm going to squeeze in another minute there. Barbara Bowen, I know you've taken a great deal of heat for doing something that's critical, which is really bridging the gap and building a coalition between the students and the workers in the CUNY system. Tell us a little bit about how you felt today as you began to see the fruits of some of the organizing and the outpouring of a coalition of students and workers in protest over these abominable increases and a whole number of other things that actually also affect the workers' rights.
It was great to be there today, and what was so striking to me is how people rallied from all across the university, faculty. We had distinguished faculty, which is our highest rank of professor. We had department chairs. We had full-time, part-time, and we had some of the leading intellectuals in the university there today. And I think what drew a lot of people was the outrage about closing down the college. I mean, closing down the main classroom campus building of Baruch College in order to sanitize the building, lest there be one peek from a student of protest. So all classes were canceled as of 3 p.m. Everything unilaterally declared rescheduled. All administrative staff basically sent home, and everybody relegated to outside. And we felt that this was putting the desire for control ahead of the interests of education. And I think that's in part what the faculty across the university responded to and just came out in numbers to be there. So it was a very powerful feeling for me, and I've been at a lot of CUNY demonstrations. It was very powerful for me to see a long informational picket line of faculty and staff in solidarity with students, and then for us to join the student march in a peaceful, orderly way, and to register our strong protest that there must be no violence against nonviolent protesters, and there must be no further attempts to crush free speech using the excuse that it's to protect our safety.
Hector, we're giving you very much now. We're serious about this. The last word, my brother.
I think that our listeners here and people in New York City should become more involved in supporting the fight going on at CUNY and public education generally in the city. These are people that have been appointed by the governor, by the mayor of this city. And these people making decisions on our lives and the lives of our children, our brothers, sisters, etc., and not for the better. I think that the public needs to activate and come out in support of these struggles at CUNY.
Well, that was our last mic check, but only for the moment. Emma Frances Snyder, thank you for not getting arrested today and being with us. And Barbara Bowen, president of the Professional Staff Congress, thanks for the coalition that you're building and the work and the principle that you engage when it comes to education and the CUNY system. You're really right on.
Thank you so much.
For being here. I also want to acknowledge Barbara Bowen and the PSC's involvement. I think it's really amazing that they came out, and I think that we're headed in the right direction. We all have to unite to expose what's going on, and I really want to thank you, everyone, for being there.
Okay. Mic check. Over. Hector Agredano, thank you. He was shaking his head with Emma. We've got a real coalition here, and we're not about to let the CUNY system slip away from us. If anything, hey, let's roll back the tuition. But that's for our next program. Thanks for being with us.
This is for all you big government Wall Street types.
Well, I was watching TV at election time. There were two candidates trying to lay it on the line. One of them looked like he was training to be cute. He was a white man in a business suit. I looked at the other, he was equally astute. He was a white man in a business suit. Well, they kept on talking, they didn't make sense. They both seemed to be on the same side of the fence. There was no real debate, it was a phony dispute. They were just two white men in business suits. If you want to be the president, better learn to salute and be a white man in a business suit. He's a white man in a business suit. If a single one of them are in cahoots, he's running the US, Europe, and Russia too. He's a white man in a business suit. To the stream to get a little drink. The water was dark and murky and it sure did sting. I went upstream to find the source of the spill. There was a chemical plant on top of the hill. I asked for the owner of this place of ill repute. He was a white man in a business suit. He's a white man in a business suit. The profits are his, it's our world he pollutes. He'll never pay for his crimes, he's got a golden parachute. He's a white man in a business suit.
sued by a lawyer. He was after my loot. He was a white man in a business suit. I got fired by my boss 'cause I wouldn't lick his boots. He was a white man in a business suit. I got evicted by my landlord 'cause my rent was overdue. He was a white man in a business suit. I got rejected for a loan at the financial institute by a white man in a business suit. I tried talking to my congressman. He didn't give a hoot. He was a white man in a business suit.
That's right. White man in a business suit. Take that, Board of Trustees of CUNY and their horrible vote. And I would maintain possibly a legal vote. Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.